Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have two brothers, Taj and Terrell Jackson. How are both of you?
What's going on?
What's up, T?
What's going on, everyone? It's Wednesday, February 5th, 2020. It's been a little chilly here in LA, but actually it's warmed up a bit today compared to yesterday, in my opinion at least. We are live on The Power of Love. If you are listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we are going to open up and take phone calls and questions via Twitter. So if you have a question about the topic we are talking about, make sure you send us a tweet at DDJ Foundation. That is the letters DDJ, the word foundation. Or you can call us at 323-203-0815. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've learned by it. We've learned from it, I should say. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you are going through. Saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Okay. Terrell.
Yeah.
Tell us about your week.
Super Bowl was probably the biggest thing this week, right?
Yeah. Did you enjoy the game?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I watched the game, obviously, but I don't think I was... I was into it. Yeah, I was. I enjoyed it.
You sound hesitant.
Yeah. Because I can't remember much of it.
It was a good game, though.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was tight at half.
Did you watch a lot of it?
I did watch. It was on, and
like
I watched it.
I feel like I watched more than you did, which is...
No, I watched it. I watched the game. I was happy with the outcome, because my friend...
Yeah.
He actually went to the Super Bowl. He's from Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, I'm happy for Jason.
I sent him a congratulations tweet.
Did you?
And he responded with a picture of him there.
It's great. So I love that.
I was happy for him because he's a diehard.
Yeah, a few years back, he went to the Kansas City Royals Baseball World Series. So he's
great.
He's lucky. He's gotten baseball and football.
It's great.
So that was the main thing, I guess. And, you know, sports is starting to pick up with baseball coming now.
Yeah.
I have my first practice this weekend and basketball. So... A little busy, a little shuffling, but
nothing you can't handle.
Yeah, it's the norm.
Taj Jackson,
Super Bowl, man, that was And the sad thing is I usually look for Super Bowls for like the commercials. The halftime, not as much anymore. Just the commercials.
I thought the commercials were pretty good.
They were that's disappointing.
I think I'm
more for like the. I want to see like a movie. You know, like what's like a big movie trailer. Or
so
something.
You want to see a trailer. You don't even care for a commercial.
There's a clever commercial, but now it's like they're so out of ideas that they're not even clever anymore. They're just, you know, especially when you know how much it costs. It's like,
yeah, I heard it was $11 million for 30 seconds.
For an ad?
Oh, yeah,
goodness.
But the argument is that's the only time you actually are looking forward to watch a commercial.
That's true.
Because every other time you're fast forwarding it. So
that's true.
That's if you're gonna have a commercial, that's the
wow.
I mean, you know, obviously all the eyeballs are there tuning into the game, and for the whole spectacle. But people actually like the commercials. What did you guys think about the halftime show?
I enjoyed it.
Jennifer Lopez, and Shakira. What'd you think?
I enjoyed it.
I mean, I liked it. It's very Latin. You know, that's Latin.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't know Latin is, and you got Latin, and I just, you know, I there's some controversy which I just didn't understand.
What
people? Some people were saying it's too sexy for the kids. I heard a lot of hypocrisy in that, and
yeah,
you know, someone put a good tweet up there when they said they showed a picture of the cheerleaders, and they said, oh, but they're not too sexy for the kids, and I think that's the hypocrisy in this world, you know,
wow.
That when two women do it, and it's you know, I mean, J-Lo and I don't know what Shakira's age is, but she's
53.
Stuff, so, you know, so you have two women that have kids and all that stuff, and they're doing what they're doing best. You know, they're they're shining, and I don't know. It was just annoying for me.
I think the only, well, I shouldn't say the only thing. I was kind of hoping for Gloria Estefan in the set.
That would have been the icing.
Maybe I'm just.
I never even thought about that.
I kind of.
Because it was in Florida. Was it Florida?
Yeah, it was Miami. It was Miami.
Yeah, Miami. I was kind of hoping that they would come Miami out and sandwiching. Do something. I really think they should have.
They should have done it.
That's interesting.
Did they do it last year?
I never thought about that.
No, but I should have done it.
They're Miami. They are Miami. They should have. Machine.
I think they should have been there, been a part of it, something, even if it was for 2 minutes.
Well, we don't know.
Maybe they turned it down. Maybe they weren't asked. I don't know. Yeah. But I missed that. I wish that was there.
That
would have
been
cool.
Because
I know everybody knows that song, and I know it was Latin, and I just felt it would have helped.
That's a good call. I didn't think about that, but I think that would have been.
I mean, how could you
elevated
not?
It?
Did you like the?
I liked it. I mean, they're both two beautiful Latin women who have great big songs, and you know, I've had crushes on both of them at one point.
Really?
So
Shakira too.
Shakira.
Yeah.
Come on now. But yeah, I thought the performance was great. You know, and what's cool to me is their age, 43 and 50. Still, you know, entertaining and you know, working. So I love it, you know, and it just goes to show you.
It's hard, though, too, because, you know, we were brought up not really to criticize. You know, it's hard in this day and age. People just feel the need to bring people down.
Are people criticizing?
Yeah. On Twitter, people were criticizing. I mean, a lot of people were praising it.
People are always going to find something.
Yeah, just that, you know.
I mean, we all do. But I think as time goes on, it's hard because the expectations of everything.
It's just
that they put on a good show.
And what's so crazy to me, I feel like expectations are so high, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like people are lazier in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of goes against it. So it's like they want more, but they don't want to do more themselves. So they don't have that work ethic to reach a certain level of perfection, but they expect it from everything they see.
Yeah.
So maybe it goes into the entitlement factor. I don't know.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, yeah, I think the Super Bowl was definitely the highlight of the week. I'm sure Terrell's in the same boat, and you too, Taj, but I'm still struggling with the passing of Kobe.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't laughing at that.
Oh, I know.
I was laughing at
it. What were you laughing at?
Because was it you that was talking about Ja Rule that kind of wished that he, for I'm Real or something, came out?
Really?
That wasn't me. But
maybe it was just me in my head.
Really?
I was.
You wish she would have came out when she went into.
I would think Pitbull more than that.
Really?
Yeah, it was Miami.
Yeah, that's true too.
But what song was in every song?
He did what's the Cup of Life or something? Not that song, but the World Cup song.
Oh, I'm sure.
The fact that you had to say it like that, and I know I'm real.
Well,
because I don't know
many
songs.
But they've had people come out and just do a song, and not be a part of
100%.
It. You know, so
I think
spread the love a little bit.
I think you're 100% right. I think Gloria Estefan was the move. And he was the one, or she was the one to bring out if you're going to bring someone. She's a Latin legend. Miami's her whole thing. She put, in my opinion, Latin and Miami on the map together. You know, if you think of Latin Miami.
Who is this?
Gloria Estefan.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so.
You think of Latin music in general, Latin pop.
Yeah.
She's like the.
I just thought she should have been
pioneer.
That's a good point. Good point. But what I was saying is I'm still, you know. I think today was the first time I didn't wake up thinking about the whole Kobe situation.
Mm, I do.
It's every morning I had been, you know, tonight, tomorrow, maybe a whole nother right back to it. But one way or the other, I'm thinking about their situation. And it's been really, really tough, you know?
You all right, Tosh?
I choked on water.
You know how to drink water?
Yeah. No, I was in between a cough, and then I thought that the water would help it not go through.
Okay.
And that didn't work.
Need a minute?
I don't know.
I mean, we are live on the radio.
Put me on mute right now.
Okay. You tell me when. Just like point your finger up or something. I'm sorry, you guys. Yeah, we got to do a better job screening these hosts.
What episode are we on?
You would think it's our first or second or third. But, yeah. So, and then... can I see that? Let me see. So we're apparently, according to the Miami
Herald.
Miami Herald. Gloria Estefan said no to performing at the Super Bowl with J-Lo and Shakira. So apparently. We don't know that for a fact either. That could be.
And we don't know why.
And we don't know why. So
maybe they didn't want her to. Yeah, I shouldn't even say anything, but you
maybe
never know.
She wanted the Miami Sounders, you know.
Maybe she wanted to do a song, but they said you're only getting 20 seconds.
Yeah, you never know.
Never know.
Either way, it would have been a nice thing to have. Yeah. But I thought the performance was really good. Either way.
That's good. Yeah.
Okay, so again, before Taj coughs again.
Were you guys rooting for a team?
The Chiefs. I was.
Taj?
I told you guys this. I had to look up.
Be honest. Did you even know who was?
No, I had to look up. I had to Google it before I went to the to see it. And I'm like, oh, okay. But then I heard, you know, I always go off the backstories. I like to hear the backstories and who's the underdog and this and that. And then once I heard that Jason was Chief,
yeah,
man, that's what. And once the Chiefs were losing, then I really was rooting for
that. Yeah, it was more the fact that they haven't been there in a while.
50 years, right?
So it's been a long time. I like Andy Reid a lot. The coach.
I was happy for him.
Didn't know that either.
He's actually been
to the game. He's never won it.
He is the most. He had the most wins without winning a Super Bowl.
I know that.
It is 220th career win. Was the Super Bowl there you go. On February?
That's a lot of football wins.
Yeah,
because each season is only 16 games.
Yeah.
So it's over 10 years of. Probably over 15, maybe even over 20 years of coaching, never winning a Super Bowl. So, and he's one of the greatest coaches. So I'm happy for
him.
Yeah,
he needed
a love comeback. So that's.
And then Jason too.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
That's for me. That was the icing.
By the way, Gloria Estefan performed in the 1992 Super Bowl halftime.
Oh, okay. So she's done it all right.
But that could have been the reason too.
Where was that?
Where? I don't know. What city?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't know if it was Miami. It doesn't matter. They've had people perform.
No,
I know,
but maybe she's like, I did it.
I did already what I needed to do.
Okay. Right. So, yeah, but still mourning the Kobe passing. And, you know, it's now that we are over a week away, 10 days away or 10 days since he passed, you know, I've been hearing a lot of chatter and talk about celebrity passing and why it affects us. You know, I saw there's bus there. You know, with Kobe, and you know, people are wearing their jerseys everywhere. Even at the girls' school performance, there was a lot of the kids in Kobe gear.
Yeah.
You know, so it just I thought a cool question would be is why we grieve celebrity deaths so much. Mm-hmm. You guys both said we've done the show.
Differently.
I don't remember it, but
well, I know
it'll be.
I know we've discussed
last
it.
Last week, Sequoia sent a article.
Did she?
Yeah. Nine,
are you pulling it up?
9 reasons it is not crazy to grieve a celebrity death.
Well,
is it the same?
I pulled that one up. So Sequoia maybe subliminally helped us get here. So thank you, Sequoia.
Because we don't do our homework.
So that's what we were going to discuss. 9 reasons why it is not crazy to grieve a celebrity death. Does that sound cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Number one, we don't know celebrities. But we know celebrities. They have often been a regular part of our lives in the shows and movies we love, creating the music that defines moments in our lives, creating art and writing we love. We have often seen them grow and change, and in some cases have felt connected to those changes. Any comment on that?
I think that's, we don't always know a celebrity or we don't meet people, but growing up, they're part of your childhood. So there's that parallel path. And I think you mentioned it, that you were the same age as Kobe. So it's the parallel path, and you can relate to somebody, especially if they're your age. But growing up, it brings back your childhood and good memories and part of life.
Yeah.
So when you lose somebody like that, it's almost like you lose a piece of your childhood in a strange way.
Yeah. Taj, anything?
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. I mean, I don't think you have to physically know someone to feel like you know them in a way or feel connected to them, I should say.
There you go.
Well, yeah, I think as Terrell said, throughout my life, really, there's only one person I really compared where I was at in life, and that was Kobe because he's within a month from my birthday. And I always knew that, you know, like LeBron James is a lot younger. And there's other people that were older, but Kobe was like my age. I always felt connected. Even though I was often rooting against them, I always felt connected outside of basketball.
Rooting against them in sports.
In sports. Thank you, Terrell.
You're welcome.
It's very much thank
Spurs.
You. Yeah, I'm a Spurs fan, so sorry. But okay, number two, we feel connected to our favorite celebs. These connections are not just about how much we love, appreciate, and respect these people, but sometimes because they remind us of, well, us. This can be as specific as their connection to a moment in our past, or as general as the fact that they are about our age or have something else in common to us. Not sure why this is different from number one.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's like kind of... Yeah,
any differences you guys are feeling from that?
No.
I don't know. Well, maybe they just want to get to the number nine. I don't really
nothing
have
wrong
much...
with eight reasons.
Well, everyone knows number nine. There's something special about the number nine number.
Okay.
Uh-huh. that's my favorite number, by the way. All right, number three. They are connected to friends or family who have died. This is a big one. We heard from so many people yesterday who share that though they personally had not been, David Bowie or Kobe's fans, their mother, father, spouse, child, or family member who died was a fan. Each time we lose something else connected to our loved one, we can experience the sensation that we are even further from our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Anything?
No, but I get it.
You can understand that?
Yeah, I can understand it.
Has that ever happened to you, Todd?
I know there's a lot of things that mom liked that, you know, that I was connected to, like the Leverts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I love the songs, but I was never like connected, but I thought of mom, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that has happened to me.
And that's an interesting way, because in this situation that you just said, mom was the past who passed, not the Levert.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where like if, I don't know. There's just a lot because we're here in LA. So a lot of people here idolize Kobe.
Yeah.
And there have been a couple of people with his passing that I wanted to check up on because they were huge Kobe fans.
I thought
of
Auntie Rebe and Austin.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Like, and grandma.
Yeah. Grandma as well. But
yeah. Yeah. Good point. Okay. This is one I actually saw that I thought was pretty strong. Not necessarily in Kobe's case, but in other celebrity cases, is that we connect with the way the celebrity died. Whether it is cancer, suicide, overdose, accident, or any other type of death, this can hit a nerve. It may be because we have struggled with the same thing, or it may be because we lost someone in the same way.
Well, it could be because with Kobe's death, it was... it was sudden. And I think that's the thing with mom's death. It was sudden. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a connection with
there you. Go. There
because
you go,
it's something that happened and there's no prep for it, no warning or anything.
Taj, good point. I wasn't thinking sudden. I was thinking. I was thinking, like a helicopter.
Oh, you incident. Were thinking.
I was thinking more
literal.
More literal. But that is actually a very valid point because not just with mom, but with Uncle Michael.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that's been tough for me to get through with the Kobe situation is in many ways it's reminiscent of Uncle Michael's passing, which was obviously
very
one of the hardest days of all of our lives. So that's a very, very good point. Any other celebrity deaths that, at least for you two, and I'm going to think as well, that have kind of triggered?
Prince is very similar to Uncle Michael's death.
You felt
as well.
That as well?
Yeah. So, yeah. I would say that would be another one.
In a different way, but yeah. Such a big figure.
Is it the sudden factor?
The sudden factor,
yeah.
It's also the age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being not...
The mystery behind it and everything. There's a lot to, looking for answers.
Yeah, and I actually was wondering, what do you guys consider as dying too young? What's that number? What number does it, what age is it where, and this is a question for our listeners too. I'm curious to know this. If you want to tweet in, call in, what is the number where you feel like they lived a full life and it's no long, it's not, I mean, I know the way someone passes will always play into that, but in as a general rule of thumb, what is the number?
I have a number.
I want to hear it.
So I'll start this. It's in the 70s. 60s is still like if someone told me they died in their 60s, that's still too young for me. The 70s is where I start thinking, okay, they've lived a decent life. Not that it's easier, it's just more I feel like they didn't get cheated as much. And I don't know why it's
Can you be more and I'm not going to hold you to the exact number, but is it 75? Is it 70? Is it 78?
If I see the number 70, like I feel like it's a 7 in it.
Okay.
You know? I see a six before it, it feels like they just got cheated a little. Like
I understand.
They had more life to live.
I think that's it.
And we're living longer anyway, so it should be 80 or 90, but that's where 70, I feel like, you know.
What do you think that number was 30 years ago in 1990?
Probably 50s.
No.
No.
You mean in terms... People died younger back in the day.
Not 90s. I say that number's 60.
60? Yeah, 60.
Okay. Maybe 65.
You said die young, though. 60s were most... I mean, people died.
But like in 1990, I mean, I was young. You guys, we were all young. But if someone passed at 60...
I still think that's young, but...
We think now, but back then we thought it was old. That's still enough
time. Yeah, back then, I think 65.
Things are different now.
Social Security age. Like when
people are starting families a lot later.
Do you agree with 70 being the number term?
70 is still early, but at least it's like I don't want to say passable, but yeah, it's like you still
retirement age.
I think as long as if you have children, you kind of want to live long enough to see grandchildren, maybe grandchildren. If you to that, see that's that age where it's you don't really get to see the grandchildren. Maybe depending, I think people are just starting families later too. But then you also have to look at where they're at in their life. You know, if there's still a lot of things going on with them, still had a lot to conquer or to go after, you know, because some people are done at 60 and just don't really care to do much.
Yeah.
Whereas others, it's like, okay, that chapter's over. Now I'm about to start this chapter. So I think it depends how you look at the person.
Interesting. Yeah, I was actually thinking. And then we have Carol on Twitter who says a couple of things, that Uncle Michael is her age. Mm. So, you know, with the correlating to the age. But she feels the number is 85.
Oh, so that's a lot higher.
Yeah, that's a lot higher. So thank you for that, Carol. Yeah, I'm on Twitter because Taj is
dropping the knowledge, so he can't do both. I can't juggle both.
Okay, so, but good addition, Taj, with the way the celebrity passed. You don't have to be so literal like I was. It could be the suddenness of it that can trigger something, which is a valid point. Number five, that celeb was always there to comfort us. I like this one too. Maybe it was binge watching The Sopranos to get you through the early days of your own grief. Or perhaps it was listening to the Velvet Underground that got you through a particular painful time. Velvet Underground.
I don't know that.
I don't either. Taj?
Taj, you don't know that.
No.
Okay. Well, and I bet a lot of our European listeners are like, how do you not know the Velvet?
No.
Okay. I'm so curious. I think I do know.
I do too.
I don't want to say.
Are they? They're not the group that sang that song Symphony, are they? Bittersweet
the
Symphony?
No.
Who sang that?
The Verve.
The Verve. Good, Terrell. It's close. Velvet Verve. That was the right letter.
But
I'm impressed that you knew that. Okay, well, anyways,
I'm impressed, too. I don't know how I came up with that. But.
Whatever it was, when a celebrity dies who brought us comfort in our difficult times, it could be especially painful and bring up past losses.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 60s, 70s reference. That's why we don't know it.
Oh, is it?
It's like, it's Lou Reed. It's his group.
Mm. Ooh.
There you go.
Yeah. Lou Reed?
Yeah, Walk on the Wild Side.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Yeah, I would have never got that.
Now,
stick with someone else.
What's your opinion about that, you guys? That celebs were always there to comfort us. So when we lose them, you know, we either... It brings up the past losses, which I don't really know if that's the case. I just feel like they were part of our important... They were an important step to us reclaiming our life, so we feel way more connected to them.
Mm-hmm.
You agree, Terrell?
Well, I think it could be... It's like a double, where if something goes wrong... I can use the Three Stooges, for example.
Please do.
But if you're using the Three Stooges to escape the world... And you're putting on their shorts, and that's short term
for films
because it sounds like clothing. If you're putting on their little mini movies and watching them, and you're supposed to escape from it, and it's supposed to make you smile and laugh and take your mind off of it. If the person that passed away is a Mo or Curly or something, then you're stuck. And another example, like for me, it was very hard for me to do music for a long time.
Yeah.
Because Uncle Michael's so like inspirational for me that it was just whenever I do music, I obviously think of him.
Yeah.
So it would just trigger all of that. And it was very difficult.
I understand.
So you almost have no place to go. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I wonder if that all makes sense. And I believe everything and agree with everything. I'm wondering that if the person doesn't pass young, if it still holds true. Like in the Three Stooges case, Todd, you know how they passed. But did any pass young? Like super young?
Curly.
Did. Curly.
See, and that's...
But, yeah. But Curly, it wasn't around our time that he passed. Like, yeah. It's interesting with Three Stooges that you mentioned, Terrell, because I don't think I've... I've watched maybe one or two episodes since Uncle Michael passed, but it's been very scarce.
Yeah.
And if people don't know, I'm like the biggest Three Stooges fan.
And Todd, you have to explain to the listeners why it's been scarce.
Because my memories of the Three Stooges is watching with my uncle. So it brings up that memory of him laughing, you know, when it doesn't feel the same.
He's laughing at the Three Stooges.
Yeah, it doesn't feel the same. Like that voice isn't there. It just doesn't feel the same. Now, I'm hoping that, you know, changes.
In time?
Yeah, that's why I'm scared
to watch.
What's
your opinion?
I don't know that. I haven't watched a lot because of that reason. I'm scared to watch in a way.
Because it's not an escape anymore.
Yeah.
Because now you're seeing it and it's taking you to a different place.
That's a good point.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
But I did come to the conclusion, this is the honest truth, because I started watching Little Rascals instead because they don't trigger that to me. But I'm excited with Taylor to watch the Three Stooges.
Oh, cool.
I don't know what age is appropriate, but she'll be watching it younger than her age that she's supposed to.
First of all, I love that because I know how much the Three Stooges mean to you and you know, they're obviously amazing and legends, but it's cool to come with the concept of, I don't want to say replacing, but finding a way to re-enjoy it through a loved one and introducing it, like the way Uncle Michael introduced them to us.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're doing that with Taylor, and I think that's the proper way to approach that.
Yeah.
Don't force it like you didn't do. You said you haven't watched it really since he passed, and then the time is approaching us. It's not here yet, but eventually the time will be there where you should be able to re-enjoy it with a loved one. And hopefully the memory of Uncle Michael will be there as it's more of a you're giving a gift.
Exactly.
So the role of Uncle Michael changes.
Yes.
Instead of being a companion, it's the one who taught you, and now you get to pass it down.
Pass it down. Pass the laughter down.
Yeah. That's very cool. Okay. Number six. We are going over 9 reasons it is not crazy to grieve a celebrity death. And we are going through this list rather quickly, but it's a good thing. I like the tempo of this show. Number 6, we see it everywhere. Seriously, everywhere. You turn on the TV, listen to the radio, log on to social media, look at Google News. You just can't avoid it. This constant exposure can be overwhelming, and it can make it hard to get a break from the tough emotions. Yeah. It's pretty self-explanatory, right?
Yep.
Do you guys sometimes have to take a break from all the news that's going on right now due to Kobe's passing?
I don't like watching the news as it is anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like watching TV much.
Let me ask you a question.
Do you watch sports.
Yeah, I know you watch sports. So that's my question. Have you not watched sports as much since his passing because it's been there or?
I don't know. I haven't watched a lot of television period lately. I'll have sports on here and there. I don't know if it's because of that. Actually, there's certain things that I did want to see that I missed, but I think I have it on tape, on DVR, I guess I should say, right? There's no more tape. But, I don't think I've avoided it, but I have felt where it was a lot, and there was nowhere to turn with Kobe.
To escape it a bit.
Yeah.
Cause
not like I'm sick of it, like I'm over it. Not that. It was just hard. Like everywhere you go, and that was another thing. It's like going to the basketball game because I'm coaching Adrian's team.
Yeah,
and you know that's fine. But I looked across the court, and the whole team had on they made Kobe jerseys. So it affects a lot of people. And yeah. It's just sad.
Yeah.
It's just really sad. Because especially here in LA, everybody knows who he is. And a lot of the people I interact with, they're into sports. And it's a big loss.
Yeah.
Not just because of sports, but just because of who all the things Kobe did.
Mm-hmm.
And what he stood for.
All right. Well said.
We do have a Twitter.
Yes.
Sequoia says, first, thanks for using the article I found. I'm a researcher at heart. Number two, I agree with Taj. My grandma died at 79, lived a long life, got to meet her great grandkids and helped many people. Number three, thanks TJ for Twitter because Taj's been slacking.
Taj, I respect that.
Did you read that last line before you read it?
No.
Out loud.
No, yeah, I knew what
you know what's coming.
Because at first, when he said number two, and he said thanks, Taj,
honest by heart,
it's like, we go. Yeah. But you redeemed yourself by.
Hey man, I can't leave out stuff.
Yeah, very well, Taj. You have been slacking, by the way.
Yes.
All right, number seven. We're going over nine reasons it is not crazy to grieve a celebrity death, and number seven is it represents losing our past or our youth. This is an interesting one that I hadn't given a lot of thought, maybe because I'm still young enough that I am not experiencing the death of many celebs of my generation. But someone posted on the Facebook page yesterday, I guess celebrity deaths make me feel like almost nothing is left from my childhood youth. This is a very real impact of celebrity deaths, and I suspect probably becomes more and more intensifies as more and more celebs of a generation die.
Yeah.
I think this is a strong one.
Yeah.
You know, I often, I don't know why, and I guess I'll be completely open about this, but oftentimes when people pass, I think about grandma. Oh. And I think about, not grandma passing or anything, but I think about what she's thinking about how so many people she grew up with or saw grow up are no longer here. And I just always, I'm now getting to that phase in my life where I feel like I'm starting to think that way, but like prior it was always grandma, the person I always thought about, what's going through her head when she hears, you know, this producer or like David Williams or you know, anyone, Prince, and any artist or anybody who's passed, because I don't know, always think about grandma. But now it's like this is our generation. Kobe's passing, and you know, someone else will pass, and it gets tough.
See, I think for me, because I'm an 80s kid, like I love the 80s,
mm-hmm.
like that's in my teenage-ish years, like, so the whole Prince, George Michael,
yeah,
Michael Jackson,
Bowie, okay,
all that musically wise, that's like my soundtrack, you know. So that's been hard in a way because those people are no longer here, you know. So in music, that's been the case. And even with films, with John Hughes and stuff like that, he's 80s and stuff like that. So the 80s is how I identify childhood, and there's a lot of people. So when I do see something 80s that's still around, that's why I'm so nostalgic and I cling to it, is because it's still there.
Hmm. That's a good point.
Like Transformers.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever die. Wow. Except you were upset when Optimus Prime
Michael Bay almost killed them.
Died. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And Terrell, anything?
No, I think it's also the fact that, you know, when they pass, it's done. Like, there's no reunion. There's no hopes of something coming back. You know, like, I mean, not to say that, like Bad Boys, it's, I don't know how many years it's been since they released the last one. You know what I mean? So
it's been a while.
Yeah. So, or any kind of movie that was huge back then and now they're bringing it back. If someone's not there, there's no chance of bringing it back.
That's a good
and
point.
I think you don't get to relive your childhood, or you don't get to visit it back one more time. Obviously you can see the original of something, but it's like, you may want to see that one more time and you don't get
to. Did you see it?
No,
haven't
yet. You're like the target demographic.
I know. Taj, my time.
This man loves Martin Lawrence.
I'm just trying to find a night.
I think every time The industry is done. True.
It's not that I don't want to see it.
I know. Hey, man.
It's not that I don't want to.
You are the target.
But I have to go late.
Yeah.
I have to go late at night.
It's good. You should
go out like a 9 or a 10 and just go.
I think I like that point, though, Terrell, because, you know, I think by nature, humans are nostalgic. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, you know, festivals for 90s and 80s and mm-hmm. all types of artists. And like you said, it's been a long time since Bad Boys 2. That was the last one, right, Tosh?
Yeah.
Bad Boys 2 mm-hmm. came out. And the fact that it's coming out now and the fact that it's number one, it's third straight weekend.
Yeah.
It did 3 straight weekends, tells you that people enjoy great movements that were part of their youth.
Yeah.
You know? So, what's another one, Taj, that came back after a long time and did really well?
Rocky was another one.
And Creed?
Yeah.
With Creed, where he brought back the character. But, you know, so it's you get to relive it a little bit, and it brings all of that back.
Yeah.
Halloween for me.
Taj, come on now.
What?
Halloween?
It's the same thing like with music.
Halloween.
It's like if you hear someone's having a big reunion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Halloween came back. Yeah.
It wouldn't be the same
with the original people.
Yeah. Taj, you...
hey, man, they're making a second one.
Halloween has that effect for you.
Yeah. It's what,
the
number
one. I don't think horror movies could do that to me.
Number one horror movie, Halloween.
I'm not saying I don't watch that, but I don't know how Halloween could be.
You just said it because you don't watch it.
Hmm. All right. Well, number 8. 9 reasons why it's not crazy to grieve a celebrity death. And number 8 is other people make us feel bad. When people don't validate our feelings, it just leaves us feeling worse. Like we can't be honest and we don't have support. If someone has ever made you feel like your grief around a celebrity's death was irrational or crazy, you may have found yourself hesitating to talk about it with others in the future. By the way, my trip up on the spelling, it's a misspell in the print.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually impressed that I was able to decode what word it was meant
I'm
to be
impressed.
On air. So
just, I expect just, that from you. All that education.
But go, all that time and money spent.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So what's your guys' opinion? What's your opinion on
I'm kind of lost on that one.
Yeah, can you read that again?
It's basically saying that, it doesn't seem like it fits this list. But there's 9 reasons why it's not crazy to grieve a celebrity death. And number 8 is because other people may make us feel bad. They may not validate our feelings and leave us feeling worse. Not sure the purpose of I know exactly the issue, Terrell, and I agree with you. I don't know if there's much to comment on it. But the one thing I will say is, as we've always preached, and I guess we could segue into this last part I wanted to say, there's no set way you're supposed to grieve. Just because someone may say, man, they weren't even a family member or weren't your friend, you didn't even know them, that doesn't mean there's a certain way you have to or can't grieve. Everyone is different. Everyone has different unique experiences with anyone, let alone a celebrity. Mm-hmm. So make sure you don't let that affect you. I think that's very important to say.
That's very important, yeah.
You know, because you touched on it last week that they're starting to mention the negative side of it.
Yeah, and
or try to throw. I should say try to throw some negative.
And they have. But another thing is that I want to say is that, you know, Vanessa, mm-hmm. Kobe's wife, has slowly started coming back to social media. She's mm-hmm. posted a couple things. And I don't know where I heard it, if it was on the radio or if it was a comment, but someone felt like what she was posting or now posting was not appropriate. That's the wrong word, but they couldn't understand it.
Oh, okay.
They were like, if I lost my husband and child,
one of those.
I wouldn't be posting this. And, you know, that's something that I think is so important to talk about because for many reasons. Everyone grieves different, which mm-hmm. is something mm-hmm. we here at the D.D. Jackson Foundation try to preach. There's no set way to grieve. And it's a very important thing to understand, and it's a misunderstanding of our society. We assume everyone grieves the way we would or thinks the way we would. Maybe this is her way of grieving. Maybe mm-hmm. this is exactly what mm-hmm. she needs.
And everyone's got an opinion on what you should and shouldn't do.
Anyway, even when it doesn't mm-hmm. come to grieving. So why would it be any different with grieving? And I think that's an important reminder that all of us here at D.D. Jackson Foundation have to remember to tell people is that there's no set way to grieve. And, you know, our job as a society is to support each and everyone to grieve and to be there and just to support and comfort them, period. Yeah. I think that's very important. Todd, you have anything?
Yes.
You're looking like you do.
Memory and Melody.
Okay.
She says, I tend to not have age be a factor in death. It feels like putting a measure on how much one is allowed to grieve the death of a person. So so basically she's saying like if oh, they lived a long life, so you can't grieve as like in the, she says more, but that's what she's mentioning. I do understand the reasoning behind it, but it doesn't feel right unless I know for a fact that person was done living. Like, basically, she's saying any age is too young in her, you know.
I like that answer.
Yeah.
I can respect that answer.
It is true. A loss is a loss. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No matter the age.
Who is that from?
Memory and Melody, but her other, her tag is at Wiz Dominatrix. So,
oh. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. But wait, Todd, is it Wisdom Natrix?
Wisdom. No, Josh? Because no, because if it was Wisdom.
I can't see it, so I'm just.
It's Wisdom. Trust me, I tried Wisdom. It's not that. It can't be.
Terrell, verdict?
Tasha's right.
Yeah, it can't be that. I tried that first. There's an eye in there that throws everything off.
Tasha's right, Terrell? You still okay with that?
Tasha's right.
Okay.
Trust me, I tried the. I think one of our first episodes or early episodes, I said Wisdom the first time.
Okay.
Matrix, but it's yeah.
Okay. Well,
I said memory, melody and memory. Or
I'm going to go with Wisdom Matrix.
Yeah.
Because that was some wisdom. And I think that's a very valid point. Daryl, what are you still looking at?
I'm just wondering if it's Wisdom in Atrix.
Oh.
In Atrix.
Wisdom, I don't know. But yeah. What's Atrix? Right. Okay. Either way, I think that's a good point. I think. I don't know if we'll ever get there as a society because we have songs like Only the Good Die Young or there's concepts. Yeah. So we always tend to say young, old.
Gone too soon.
Gone too soon. Also, you know, in my old age, I'm going to do this. Mm. And if I make it to here. So I don't know if we'll be able to get through that. But I like that concept because regardless of the age, you can have an impact on someone. And when you're no longer here, the grief is going to be there, regardless of the age.
I think obviously loss is hard either way, but when you've lived longer, 75, 80, 90, we'll say, I think you've lived long enough to have the opportunities to see grandchildren, to go after your goals, travel a little bit, do all the things. When you lose someone when they're 40, 50, you start thinking they'll never get to see their grandchildren. The grandchildren won't get to know the father or the grandfather. I think it's you feel like you're missing out on a whole lot. When you're 80, it's like
there's a cheat factor where you felt cheated.
Yeah, you're going to miss out on a lot of things.
You feel cheated for them.
And it's not only them. Sorry, Tosh. It's not only just their loss. It's the people surrounding them, the loved ones, that what they're going to miss out on.
Yeah, but there's some kids and that have grown up with grandparents that they're closer to their grandparents than their mother.
Very true.
So to them, you know, that loss could be just equally.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Thank you.
All right. So we have one more.
All right.
One more reason why it's not crazy to grieve a celebrity death. And I think this one's kind of piggybacks off another one.
No, so it doesn't end with a bang.
It kind of ends. It could have ended worse.
Should have been seven reasons.
I'm actually okay with this one.
Okay,
I'm actually okay with this one. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Reason number 9: they will never do or create anything new. One minimizing thing people say when an artist, actor, or musician dies is, "At least the world still has all their work." Though this is true, and these works of art, music, political action are often what had touched us about celebs, having their existing works doesn't mean there isn't a deep sense of loss that they will never create anything new. We will hear a new song, read a new book or poem, see a new film, or go to another live performance. We can simultaneously feel grateful for the works that exist while grieving the loss of their potential future works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I touched on that a little bit. Yeah, you did. When they passed, it's done. It's because it's like you're writing your book, your story of life. And when you pass, your book's pretty much done. There's no more in your chapter. It's on to the next generation, what you leave behind. But that whole thing of reunion, everything's done. You can go back to the past works and relive all that, but that, you know, there's nothing beyond that point.
Yeah. Tosh?
No, I get it. I understand it. I was thinking of the Beatles when, because I thought I had heard every song, and then when they came out with the anthologies and there's these songs that hadn't been released, it feels like Christmas. It feels like, oh my God, you know, like
what
a new
was
song.
The first Beatles
Free
song?
As a Bird.
Free as a Bird, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the first Beatles song that came out as a Beatles record. After John's passing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For their anthology, the Beatles anthology.
But the other three members were with us at that moment.
Yes.
Yeah. What was the second one? Because they had two
songs. Real Love.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was a B-side, wasn't it?
Their second one?
Wasn't Free as a Bird and Real Love together?
Oh, Real Love was from their other, like they had two different anthologies. Real Love was from the second one.
Gotcha.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
Sounds right, but your eyes...
No, it's from the second one. I know that.
I'm worried about the yeah. conviction.
No, because he asked what
face.
Was the... I don't know if they released from the first one, if they released another one.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And since we're on the topic, what's your guys' opinion on that?
What?
Just releasing stuff after.
Oh, after? It depends, I think, on how it's released and how it's done, because there's been a lot of works that have been released after... And mm-hmm. some of it is great. There's a lot of work that has been let. What is it called? The cutting room floor.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the best work.
Okay.
You know, sometimes people have the intentions of releasing something later.
Yeah.
And things happen.
Yeah, I think it all depends on as you said, the situation. If I think it also depends on the artist. If the artist said, "Please don't do this,"
then obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if they didn't, and it's left up to then. Depends on how honored it is.
Yeah. Okay.
The legacy.
Well, before we wrap up the show, we're going to take one call because I ignored all the calls.
Okay.
But we got to hear from our listeners. Who is joining us on the Power of Love show?
Hi, guys. This is Alicia.
Hi, Alicia. How are you?
I'm fine.
What would you like to add?
What
would you like to contribute?
I think for me, the reason why I connect with celebrity death is when I think about your Uncle Michael growing up, it's the inspiration and it's looking at him and the family. It was something that I could not relate to. So it was the inspiration that I connected to. And I think when he passed, it was like I didn't get to say thank you because you inspired me. So it was like a connection to something that inspired me to be who I am today. Like my love for dance, my love for music, my love for the big family and the family dynamic. I got to when I first loved Michael, I was a little girl. So it was about the music and about watching him dance. But as I got older, it became about the family in its entirety and just watching how the family worked and the closeness. And it made me look at family differently because I'm the youngest of three girls. My sisters are much older than me, so I really don't feel like we're siblings because they're more like adults when I was a child.
Mm.
So it was the inspiration, and what I saw in him was something that I couldn't relate to, but it changed my life. So it was sort of like I didn't get to say thank you.
Okay. Mm. Well, I like that. Not that you didn't get to say thank you, but I think that's a good addition to the list. That's a true, genuine reason why it is simply okay to grieve a celebrity passing. In your case, my Uncle Michael contributed a lot to your life, and you never felt like you were able to thank him while he was still here. So, and then there's many people that feel that way. But I will say this, my Uncle Michael felt everyone's love, the fans' love, I should say. He felt the fans' love and the support, so... Don't be too hard on yourself, and thank you for not only supporting him, but our family and and our foundation.
You're more than welcome.
All right, Felicia. All right, Felicia. Alicia. Oh, yeah. I was thinking of Felicia. Not
about names.
Alicia, thank you so much for the call. We're going to wrap up today's show. With that said, Taj, Terrell, anything you guys want to add?
No.
No, I like the topic. It's important.
Okay.
You know, because people, a lot of people on Twitter said, I feel so silly mourning, you know, someone that I don't even know. But a lot of other people came to the defense and said, no, you know, I feel the same way and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's important to say that. Yeah, it's fine. It's human.
It's definitely in the air, at least here in Southern California. You know, like we said last time, just meeting random people, you could see it and it's a common point. Everyone's kind of goes through that moment of just being lost for a second. And it's a variety of reasons. But remember, people, it is not crazy to grieve a celebrity death. To the Bryant family, once again, on behalf of the Dede Jackson Foundation and all of us, we're sending our love and prayers and condolences.
And to the other victims.
To the other victims as well. Stay strong, support each other. And that is it. Anything else, fellas?
That's it.
Oh, that's it. All right. Adios, everyone. Have a good week.
All right.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the Dede Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.